Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we explore a different aspect of the unknown, including news updates and exciting news guests. So tonight, our guest is Ronnie McMullen. He is an author and UFO researcher, and we're going to talk about his book, Sold Out Warning, which is a very exciting and controversial book. But before we get to that, let me just give you a little bit of UFO news. Not a lot, but there is something that's very interesting going on. Stephen Greer, MD, is a popular researcher in the field and has written a couple of books and also claims to be a contactee. And his main claim to fame is probably CSETI, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which is a group, a citizens group, which basically uses different techniques to call down UFOs. Since then, he moved on to Project Starlight, which is an attempt to get government witnesses to disclose what they know about the UFO situation and the UFO cover-up. Well, recently, he's been working on a new project, and he's just made a major announcement, at least according to, Nima Daghey of UFO Wikipedia. And apparently, this is what Stephen Greer is saying, that there is a major country in the world today that has decided to cooperate with Stephen Greer and his group and has invited them to become the primary contactees to precipitate an event with extraterrestrial vehicles with the full support of the Air Force, Space Command, and the military. Apparently, to meet the leadership of this right now anonymous country, and facilitating this so it can be publicly disclosed to the world. And apparently this is imminent, and I don't know, we've heard a lot of rumors of this sort of thing happening before, public disclosure and this sort of thing, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. But that's basically the exciting news that we have going on right now, and I guess we'll just go directly to our guest. Now, Ronnie McMullen is a UFO researcher and the author of the new book, Sold Out Warning. He also is a host of a nationwide talk show titled The Prophetic Watch, and he lives in the Midwest with his wife and children. Now, Sold Out Warning is a controversial UFO book which exposes the ugly side of what's really going on in our government in connection with the alien agenda, while encouraging those who have had horrific experiences with a ray of hope. Sold Out Warning unveils the cover-ups and lies that the media has either eliminated or made into a hoax. And Ronnie McMullen dares to expose the truth that many have either been killed or silenced for. And make no mistake, people have, in fact, been killed for this very, very important subject. So after reading this book, hopefully you will never be blindsided by the media again. So, Ronnie, thank you very much for agreeing to come onto the show.
Thanks for having me, Preston.
Yeah, I'm really excited. The UFOs are my favorite subject, and I definitely believe there's a cover-up going on.
And so I'm really I think there's a huge cover-up going on, and I think there's a huge disinformation going on as well. It seems when you study UFOs that it's like panning for gold, you know, good luck to get the real stuff. But there's a lot of fool's gold out there, I'll tell you that.
Right. You know, it's a very, very controversial subject. It really is. But it's how did you get involved with it?
Well, I started I obviously doing talk radio, you know, I was talking to many guests that would talk about the New World Order, and as the New World Order was being exposed, the next thing I know, some of my guests were like, do you know anything about the alien agenda? And I said, no. I said, I don't know much at all. Oh, well, you will. And I thought, wonder why they're saying that. And the next thing you know, I mean, when you study the New World Order, you're gonna run right into the dead end of alien agenda. And that right there was kind of freaky. But when, when I started studying I have a faith background, and when I started studying that and found out that the TV evangelicals were also involved in this mess, that's when I started saying, boy, something's very wrong here. And, you know, I need to tell a story here that maybe people haven't heard yet. And so I put a book together called Sold Out Warning. And it's very interesting. This book is it's very much a love-hate relationship. They either love the book, and they're just, you know, I have had more people. I don't know how book sales go because this is my first book. But I'll have somebody buy a book and then get a hold of me a month later and buy 10 more.
Oh, wow.
Now, why would you have somebody buy 10? Because they give them out or they get them in certain places. So, and I've had this happen many times. And so that's kind of interesting. And but on the same token, when I went to the International UFO Congress in Laughlin, and that was just, you know, last week of February through part of March, and I was there for that, for Stephen Greer, to your information that you just had. I was there when he announced that. And I could tell you right now, in my I feel very, very strongly that his this secret government, in other words, this government that hasn't come out of the closet, it's a you know, a major government in the world. Well, I believe that government is the United States. The United States probably is the one that is going to make contact with these UFOs because, first of all, they already have.
Yeah, well, that's just what I was going to say. I mean, we've already done it.
Nothing new here. So, and you know, and you know, with Stephen Greer, you know, having being a contactee and you know, basically making contact with these things, boy, that gives me that puts the hair on my neck standing straight up. Because my book definitely is a warning that we should not be playing with this stuff. This is not good, and it's going to cause some real problems. We're going to see a lot of issues take place with these UFOs, with these spaceships, and of course, you know, with this so-called, you know, quiet agenda of, oh well, there's a world government that's going to, you know, get a hold of these things. Well, If you study the Illuminati and the New World Order and all of that at all, just a little bit, you're going to find out that the two are connected, and they've been connected since, you know, the 40s. So, in fact, they actually was starting to connect clear in the 30s with Hitler. So
right.
This is very interesting that, you know, it's this big new thing. It really kind of goes in line with what we're about to see. And I keep telling people, you know, people are going to say God's name real soon. What they're going to say is, oh, my God, because that's what's going to be in the air. These ships that we're seeing in Mexico, 300, 400 ships at one time, in broad daylight. Well, we don't see that in the United States, but we're going to. We are definitely going to.
So, I mean, you don't think this is a good situation? The UFOs, you think, are bad news for humanity? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I do. And what's really interesting, again, this is why the book's probably a love-hate relationship, is because the ones that agree with me, they like the book and they like to find out what's going on. And the ones that disagree with me, they want nothing to do with the book. They don't even want to give it a page because here's the number one thing. I find that people are always, you know, wanting more, okay? Whatever we have today, we want more tomorrow. And this is why our technology has gone up. And I'm not saying we should stay in the Stone Age, but a lot of our technology has come from the alien agenda. And what I see is these fallen angels, I call them fallen angels. These fallen angels are not here for our good, and they're not from outer space. And I believe that these fallen angels, there's two ways that I can control you, Preston. I could come over and put a gun to your head, and I could say, you're going to follow me tonight. And guess what? With a loaded gun to your head, you're probably going to follow me. Or I could come over and I could say, hey, you know what? I got $1 million cash if you'll meet me in this such and such place. And guess what? For $1 million cash, you'll probably follow me that way too. So there's two ways to get people controlled. The first way, obviously, is at gunpoint. In other words, something horrific, fear, what have you, manipulating, or something that is good. And the one thing when these things come is they give people light. They give people knowledge. They give people things that people want, and power and healing and so on and so forth. And they do that. Okay? They
right.
are from another dimension. And they are not from our dimension, obviously, because they don't knock on the door and say, hello, we're here to take you. So, you know, it's a different ball game. They come right through, and you don't know when they're coming. I don't think there's any abductee that knows exactly the time and date that an alien, ET, whatever you want to call them, I call them fallen angels, are going to show up at your doorstep. Have you ever heard of anybody knowing the exact time or the exact date that they were going to come?
No, I haven't. I mean, people have gotten prophecies, and people definitely get like premonitions or feelings that when they're coming, but not like an exact date or anything like that, no.
No, they'll know like it might be tonight because why? Because their ears will ring.
Right.
Because something goes on inside of them because half of these people are chipped. So if it's like a, you know, you ever go to a restaurant and there's a big, huge line and they hand you one of those little transistor things,
right?
Okay? And does it tell you exactly the exact time you're going to get your table? No, but it does notify you to come into the building if you've walked outside because it's nice out. You walk back in the building and then they set you down. You don't know the exact date, but you do know that now there's a table ready. It's the same thing. These ETs notify the person that we are coming, we are here, and most of them stress with fear because most of the abductees are not having good relationships with these fallen ones, with these ETs, whatever you want to call them. They're not having good relationships. Most abductees are being raped. Most of these abductees have massive fear. And they are being probed, and I could go into a lot of details that I don't think are good. And yet, how can we have people call down ETs and say they're here to help us?
Well, in your opinion, is there more than one different type of ET? I mean, are we talking about the Greys as being these fallen angel-type beings, or...
Well, it's
going
to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, but oh well, I'll just go for it. Because I love to do this. People are like, oh well, he doesn't know anything because he doesn't use the right lingo. Well, here's how I look at it.
All right.
There are how many different bank robbers? Many, many different bank robbers. Correct.
Right. Correct.
Do they all dress the same? No, they don't.
Well,
if you go to California, you might see some surfer bank robbers. And if you go to Chicago, you might see some bank robbers with long coats.
Well, they put on different masks.
They put on different masks, and this is exactly what I'll say about these fallen ones. In other words, we've heard different species, different kinds. Some are grays, some are white, some are 7 feet, 8 feet tall, some are 3.5 foot tall, some are this way or that way. You know, some have 6 fingers, some have 3 fingers, and we can go on and on. I think that they're all different mass. That way, think about it. If the more there is to see, the more confusion that we can have. It's not just one being. But I will find it interesting that the abductees do all, it seems that we have so many different species that have been seen, and they all seem to be alike. In other words, maybe there's 30 masks or 200 masks, but there's not millions of masks. There's a certain sect of mass. But the one thing that I have noticed is when you dive into the abductees and you find out what is going on with their life, you cannot say these things are pleasant.
I agree. I agree with you. A lot of people definitely do not like these experiences. So what then do you think is the alien agenda, or you know what I mean?
Well, if you go to Scripture, and this is where it's kind of, I find it comical, but, you know, what can you do? The truth is the truth. I guess I could dress it up like a, you know, would put some kind of something on it, but the truth is the truth. So my point is when you go back into Scripture, and a lot of the UFO people that are following the UFOs, the aliens, and they want to know about what's really going on, they never want to use the Scripture. They always want to use anybody else's stuff. And I think that's kind of foolish because, to me, if I am a man of faith and I must open myself up, you know, how many preachers are talking about aliens and ETs? Not very many, okay?
Right.
So So to me, if I'm open enough to say, look, yes, they exist, yes, they're real, and let's talk about it, then to me, the UFO people need to be open enough to say, okay, well, let's listen what he has to say. Well, when you go into Genesis, and it talks about Genesis 6, it talks about these fallen angels coming down and mating with the women of Pharaoh. In other words, the beautiful women of that time. This is thousands of years ago. And they created a breed, a crossbreed, which is called the Nephilim. And this is the buzzword in the UFO industry as well, is the Nephilim. Is the Nephilim alive today? Is there such thing as a Nephilim? Is it true? Well, there is a Nephilim today. And let me put a buzzword for what the Nephilim are called today, MIBs. Okay.
Oh. These are, okay.
These are looks like us, acts like us, but they're not us. Okay. And there's many different breeds of MIBs because they're a crossbred. This goes back to Genesis 6. Okay, now you take the old story that we know from our Sunday school days, because almost everybody's been to some kind of Sunday school or some kind of church, organized religion at one point of their life or another. As usually as a child, they get it force-fed down their throat, and the next thing you know, they don't want nothing to do with religion because of this stuff. Okay, so let's go back to the old little tale of Noah and the ark, and we had the water, and you know, God flooded the world, and so on and so forth. We were told that that's all about, well, people were bad and they were doing this and that, so God had to destroy man, and you know, he was mad at man, and this is what happened, and then, you know, Noah and his family was saved, and then they began to populate the earth again. Okay, well, that's semi-true, but it's not totally true. The reason that Noah, that whole situation took place is because of this crossbreeding that was taking place. And God said that these things were all evil. There was nothing in their heart that was good. There was nothing about them that was good. So he had to destroy the earth. Now, he talks about it in Genesis, and he talks about why Noah got to be saved. And he says Noah was perfect, okay, but not as a man. He was perfect in his generations. In other words, his DNA was not corrupted. It was not perverted. And this is a story that's not told by the church, and this is not a story that's told by the UFO people. And this is a story that needs to come out, because it's very interesting, and I love to learn. I love history. I like to get people digging. I don't want to just tell them this is what you have to believe. I want to get them to where they start digging. So then let's go to a scripture that's thousands of years later, and Jesus, okay, not that word, the Jesus word, no, please. Well, that's an important word, because here's something that he says that really needs to take people for a spin. He says, I'm going to paraphrase, in the end of days, it will be as the days of Noah, okay, as the days of Noah. Now, why would Jesus say that in the end of times, it's going to be as the days of Noah? And then he says they're marrying and they're drinking and they're this and that. And, of course, the organized religion has a wonderful time with this, because they're saying, oh, all you bad people, and that's why God's going to do this. That's not what he's talking about at all. Why would Jesus say this? And I'll tell you why. Because in the days of Noah, there was fallen angels, okay, coming down, crossbreeding, and creating a new breed. And that's why God destroyed the earth. Now we move up thousands of years. Here's Jesus saying it again. And he's saying it'll be as the days of Noah. The end of days will be as the days of Noah. And what he's saying is history's going to repeat itself. And think about the hybridization that's going on right now.
Yeah, you know, many people have remarked upon that. There's clearly a parallel going on there. And I see exactly what you're saying. But so are you telling me that angels and aliens are synonymous?
Yes. Hard to understand that, but yes. And you know what's really hard to understand too is we think that they're in outer space, because obviously they fly these ships. And we got to realize that the enemy, there's two sides. There's the guys that are wearing white, and there's the guys that are wearing black.
Yeah, that's another thing I was going to.
God represents the white side, and obviously Satan represents the black side. Well, then there's two armies. We have the angelic realm of God's side. And what, Satan's up there all by himself with nobody? Uh-uh. No, because he took a third of the angels when he left heaven. And what did those angels become? In other words, they have the angel manifestation, but they have the same powers, except it's on the what you call the dark side. So are these, now think about it, if heaven is as great as what we're told, then I ask you this, you're kicked out, are you happy?
No, that's supposed to be the worst torture of all.
Okay, so now you're an angelic being that's got kicked out of where you want to be. Are you happy? No. So what are you going to do? You can't go back. So what would be the best way to do things? Let's see if we can get as many people as we can that they can't go either, because we can't go, so they can't go.
So if this is true, then wouldn't half the UFOs coming down be good guys? I mean, the good angels?
No, because the angels, the angelic, the God realm, how many times have you heard people say, I saw an angel? Now, I want to let people know that a lot of these people that say, I saw an angel or I see angels every night, it's not true. But I do believe that real angels, godly angels, manifest. Now, let's go back to the other side now. So we need to make an illusion, because if these ungodly angels, demonic angels, showed up, then we'd know that they're bad and we'd know what they were. Why not wear a suit? Why not put on, as we called earlier, a mask and ride around in a spaceship, and then we can't even look like we're a bad angel at all? We're actually something completely different. Wouldn't that cause confusion and deception to the people?
Right. Well, you know, in a way, it doesn't really matter what labels you put on these beings.
Right.
What matters is what they're doing.
And is what they're doing. And that's an interesting thing, too. It's what they're doing, and it's also the fact of, where do they live? Where are they? And that's recorded in Scripture as well. Because we're told that, we're told by the U.S., the United States government, whatever, that, they're another planet, they're in space, okay? Well, they're in space. I would ask a question. Why has so many Navy intelligence, Air Force, what have you, watch ships go into the ocean? Does that make sense?
What do you mean?
What are they going to do, go abduct a whale? You know what I'm saying? Unless they're going into the ocean because there's a port and it's under the ocean. And let me share something that most people, I don't think, maybe ever read or understood. But I want to take a little quote here, not to be quoting scripture, but I think for the UFO people, they'll really find this fascinating. I've been reading this on air at a lot of the radio interviews. And we all know the Ten Commandments, correct? And that's pretty easily said. But let me just read you one of the commandments. And now listen, instead of listening to the Gospels of old, let's listen as if we're really interested in UFOs and see if we can spot anything interesting in what I'm about to read.
All right.
It says this, in verse 3, chapter 20 of Exodus, so if anybody ever has a Bible and they want to check this out for themselves, they can. Exodus 20, and it's in verse 3. I'm going to start with 3 and just read a couple of verses. It says this, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, we know that one. We've heard that. But number one, we have to realize, you shall have no other gods is plural. It is not singular. It does not say you shall not have any other god. It says you shall not have any gods. And we could say gods could be a lot of meaning, a lot of different things. But one of the things that I watch in the UFO industry and in the whole ufology is they talk about being gods. So it says, you shall not have any other gods before me. But that's not the big one. Watch this. You shall not make to you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in. In other words, don't make yourself some kind of something to worship, right? But watch what it says. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now, that's kind of interesting. Why would it be talking about that we should make anything or replicate anything that is in heaven, or that is in the earth beneath, not on the earth, but the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth? And I find this very interesting because off the coast of Hawaii, there's an underground base, and it's actually under the water of the ocean.
Right.
Now you go to verse 5 and watch this. It says, you shall not bow down yourself to them. Isn't that an interesting word?
Huh.
Nor serve them. My question is, who's them? For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. See, I think with new eyes you can see there's something going on in that verse.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, if you interpret angels as aliens,
isn't it wild?
Fits. It fits. But
It does. And the fact is, and so people say, well, if they're fallen angels, why do they need spaceships to fly around? Okay,
well,
this is a great question.
Disguise, you're saying?
Disguise, you bet. Because if you think it's an alien demon, you're probably going to, even the people that have no faith system, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, I don't want no part of that. I maybe am not going to do the God thing or the organized religion thing or the faith thing or whatever, but I don't want to do the bad thing either. So they're going to stay away from it. But what if you disguise it as something really good? Something
that is,
then it's going to draw you in. Now, here's the question, too, is it's going to draw you in, and yet everybody that is taken, that is abducted, they're not happy when they come back.
Well, I wouldn't say that. That's true for everybody. Like Betty Andreasen, she's had a lot of abductions, and she's a very, very religious person, and she looks upon her abductors as angels, and she says it's been a positive experience for her.
There are the few that say that it's really good, and I don't know if she's ever been under hypnosis.
Yes, she has. Yeah.
And she says even under hypnosis, they're good?
Yeah. I mean, she's had some traumatic experiences, too. I mean, like you say, she's been abducted and, I mean, examined and had needles put in her and stuff that's really kind of violating.
Well, maybe she likes it. I don't know. But I know somebody's sticking me without my permission. I'm not going to be happy about it.
I think
the missing time is kind of interesting because if they're from anything from us, we can't do that yet. And yet they can. They can, boom, you're missing time. They can, you know, they go right through walls. And it was kind of interesting because I watched this guy I wouldn't have believed it for a second if I didn't see it on the internet, but I watched a guy go through a plate glass window, and that was kind of eerie. Did you see that?
Like David Blaine or one of those guys?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a trick or not.
Well, I know the one that I got. He wasn't really a magician. He was just a... I don't know what he was. He was kind of a dark kind of guy, but, you know, he was very kind. But, you know, I watched him go through a plate glass window, and the window didn't break, obviously. And there were people there filming, you know, and never stopped the cameras. So how did he do this? Well, I find it also interesting that we only use less than 10% of our brain, and I had somebody the other day say it's only 2%. Now, I don't know what the actual truth is, but we can say, let's give ourselves some padding and go to 10%. What's the other 90% for? If there is a creator, did he mess up? Did he do something wrong? Because we have 90% of our brain that ain't being used, and I think it's for another time. And it's actually for another time very soon, that we actually can have the same capabilities as some of these so-called demonic realm. Because, you know, if you go to the scriptures of old say that if we have our system built right, that we can have the same authority as Christ did. Well, Christ walked on water. I don't know. I haven't seen anybody walking on the ocean lately. And you look at, you know, translating Paul and Peter translating, and obviously Jesus, many times they would try to kill him, and boom, he would disappear. The question is, did he just disappear, or was he just, you know, did he, you know, put oil all over himself and he was too slick to catch? See, I believe he disappeared. I believe he was gone. We have that ability built in us, but nobody has their system correct. And I think there are people that are going to call on these fallen ones, and these fallen ones have that ability. So what do you think they're going to give people? they're going to give the people the ability to do this.
Huh.
It's the race.
Well, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Ronnie McMullen. We're talking about his book, Sold Out Warning. Now, Ronnie, where can people get your book? Do you have a website or a place, email or anything?
www.soldoutwarning.com, and you can read all about it there and get all kinds of good stuff. Phil Schneider was doing the same kind of warning. The government engineer was doing the same kind of warning, saying, look, and he wasn't, you know, he was no preacher or no faith system guy, but he said, let me tell you something. These things aren't good. They're not here for our good. I'm warning you, and you better get it together. So there's a lot of information on Phil Schneider on my website as well, www.soldoutwarning.com.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people have said that open contact with extraterrestrials could be one of the most devastating things for humankind for a number of different reasons, but mainly because such an advanced culture would completely absorb and overtake our own. Now, my question to you is, your interpretation and the so-called rapture and Armageddon and all of this seems to be wrapped up with the UFO phenomena to a little bit, in that there's prophecies of upcoming Earth changes and traveling into a fifth dimension or what have you, and the aliens coming and showing themselves or rescuing people from some sort of a major disaster. So it's all tying up together. It's somehow. And I was wondering what you think of, you know, what's going to happen, or in your opinion.
Well, great question. First of all, we have the TV evangelicals that are on national television, and they're talking about a rapture. They're talking about the second coming of Christ, and they're talking about before this great 7 years, the great tribulation, which is 7 years long. This is scriptural. They're saying before this happens, Christ is going to come back, and he's going to get all what I want to paraphrase, but he's going to come for all the good people, and all the bad people get to stay here. And this really torques me. It does, because it's not true. It is a false doctrine. But if we have God, and if we have Satan, which I believe we have both, Satan A is not equal to God, because God created Satan. So he's not even an equal. So we have God on the good side, Satan on the bad side. Let's go back to the other side. Jesus Christ is on the good side, the Son of God. Right on the other side, we got to have something that represents Jesus Christ. What's it going to be? The Antichrist. Then we go to the other side, and we've got the Holy Spirit. We got to have something on the bad side to represent that. The false prophet. Okay, because the false prophet, Holy Spirit, leads people to Jesus. So the false prophet, in other words, a world religious leader, will lead people to the Antichrist. Now, on the other side, the good side, we have the second coming of Christ. So guess what? We have to have a counterfeit for that. What would it be? I got it. How about a rapture?
Okay.
Okay, here's my point. The rapture would be, and this is what I believe is going to take place. The rapture, see, first of all, when you look at the New World Order and you study what they're doing, the number one thing they want to do is downsize the population, correct?
Right, I've heard that the secret government wants to kill off, 4 billion people or something?
Oh, yeah, a lot more than that. They want to bring it down to about 500 million people. And we have about 6.7 billion people right now on the Earth, so that's quite a bit of people going bye-bye. So how would you take the population down without having anarchy? Maybe a massive abduction. Now, I don't think it's going to be an abduction of, you know, billions of people, but it might be an abduction of millions of people. And then we could blame it on who? Everything else we've done, look at, you know, James Cameron just came out and, you know, he's going to do this whole movie about Jesus' bones and all this and try to discredit Jesus Christ. So we need to blame it on Jesus Christ, because we've blamed everything else for thousands of years on Jesus Christ. Why not one more thing? So what we're going to do, I believe this is what's going to happen, is we're going to see a massive rapture, and they're going to say Jesus came for his people. And what it'll do is, in other words, we're going to blame it on God. So all these people are gone. Where'd they go? The question is where do the abductees go? And how many abductees go and never come back? You know, we have the Dulce base underneath Dulce, New Mexico, and there are people down there that have been missing for years, as well as, you know, crossbred animal people type things, you know, seven layers underneath the ground. This is what Philip Schneider went into when he was drilling. And basically this was the fight of the Dulce Wars in 1979. So, and this is all stated in the book, but this is something that, you know, when I hear of Stephen Greer calling down these fallen angels, I'm like, well, let me know when you're doing that so I can be on the opposite side of the earth. Because I don't feel like being probed. Maybe Stephen likes it, but I don't. I don't think it's a good idea because they don't know what anesthesia is. They don't know what compassion is. All they know is what they want. And think about this. Abductees, what do they do? They go up there and do what? They go up there and give sperm and eggs, okay?
Right.
And why? Here would be the question. Why?
Well, allegedly to create a hybrid race, because supposedly the aliens' race is dying due to nuclear war. That's the story.
Is that the Iran or the Iraq war?
Well, you know... I don't know what's going on. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, I personally don't think that the ETs are demonic, because I do think people have a lot of positive experiences, and it's hard for me to believe that we are the only creatures in this universe. So when someone says they see an ET, it's hard for me not to see it as an ET. Now, you could be right. It could be a disguise, but... isn't it possible that at least some of these UFOs are actual extraterrestrials? I mean, what about, like, the craft that the government supposedly has in, you know, Roswell and all these other UFOs that have crashed? How would you explain that?
Well, I look at this, you know, when Moses took his staff, he threw it down on the ground, it turned to a snake.
Right.
And then when he picked the snake back up, it turned into a staff. Okay. You know what most people miss in the scriptures? The magicians and the soothsayers, they did the exact same thing. Okay.
So basically, so, these are just gifts given to us that are
yes.
False.
You know, yes. And what my point is, these ships, anybody that studied them, and we have now reverse engineered these ships. You know, obviously people throw Bob Lazar out in the wind. Just because he had a problem, but it, you know, doesn't mean that he's still not who he is. Dr. Edward Teller will tell you that. We have reverse engineered these ships. You know, Lockheed Martin, the X-22A, it's flying. It was used in the Persian Gulf War with the Daddy Bush going on, which is by the way, one of the highest levels of Masons. You know, 42nd degree. This is thick, okay? And this UFO agenda, when Dwight D. Eisenhower signed the GRADA Treaty in Edwards Air Force Base, which at the time was Murdoch Test Center, this is all took place for us to receive technology, okay? This is not a good race. This is, you know, and basically in that GRADA Treaty, it said, hey, here's what we can do. We will give you some of our people, and you give us your technology. And of course, I like this part. And the ET, we'll call them ET, and the ET said, sure, sounds great. And they were only supposed to have so many people. Well, that never happened. They took as many as they wanted. And think about our movies for a second. We have Steven Spielberg, right? And he put out the movie ET. Wasn't that a cute little movie? Little boy working with this little thing, and we all loved the thing. It was kind of cute, and they all buddy buddies. In fact, the thing took the little boy away from mommy. If you really study that movie, that's exactly what happened. And this little boy loved the thing more than he loved mommy, because mommy didn't understand. Okay, now nobody really picks that up, but that's really what the movie is stating. Okay, and it's all a good thing, right? Well, and then we move to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and here's another movie, you know, that lets us know that I find it interesting, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the ship comes and takes the little boy away, but the mommy later on in the scene, she's more caught up in just going to meet the UFO, and she doesn't even give a rip about her son. Name me one mommy like that. See, most people miss these pieces of the movie, okay, because it's a movie.
Right.
Okay, now what kind of stuff is Steven Spielberg doing? Let's see, did Taken, which shows abduction in a rare form, and how about War of the Worlds? That was a class act. In other words, the movies are turning from E.T. Phone Home to E.T.'s Here to Kill You. Now you have to wonder, why did he change? And he's probably got one of the biggest collection of implants of any one person or hospital. So this tells you that something very deep is going on. And it started in 47. Actually, 47 is really when it came out in the public. It started way before that. And these things have been around for a very long time. This is not something new. And, you know, is it possible? It's possible, because I'm not God. I don't know what God, you know, God could have all kinds of stuff. But I find it interesting when you read the scriptures, you know, we can either read it legalistically and get nothing out of it, or we can even read it historically. Do you know that Bible doesn't say much about Jupiter or Saturn? It doesn't say much about the moon, but it sure has a lot of words about the Earth. Why? Why does it not talk about Jupiter? Because there's no Jupiter? Well, that would be stupid, because we know there's Jupiter. Why doesn't it talk about Saturn? Well, because there is no Saturn, but yet we know there's a Saturn. But why does it always talk about the Earth? And it's interesting, when it talks about these entities, it always talks about these entities in Earth.
Huh. Well,
now, that's wild.
Let me tell you this story, because tell me what you think of it. Because I interviewed this gentleman, and he had a UFO experience with his friends, and neither of his friends could all they remembered was seeing the UFO. They had missing time. Whereas he recalled being taken on board this craft, which he said was the most beautiful thing he's ever seen, and he said on board were two human-looking, very, very beautiful, perfect-looking people who were very friendly towards him, and took him for a little ride, because that's what he asked them to do.
Yeah.
And he came away from the experience thinking that these guys were angels, and that they are ascended beings, and that he believes that the rapture will occur, and that it's got very much to do with UFOs coming back and angels, and very similar to what you're saying. But he says he met them.
Well, it's very possible, but again, you know, in the underworld of crime, they lure you with beauty and money. In other words, they lure you with things that you want. So you say, I want to ride in your spaceship. Oh, you bet. I'm going to be nice to you. Okay?
Right.
So I'm not discounting what happened, okay? But the scriptures are very clear, and they say something very interesting, and this is what it says. Beware of the angel of light. Now, when you talk about light, light is always represented as good, and dark is always represented as bad. If I said, Preston, you're very dark, if you heard me say that, you would probably think, well, he's kind of slamming me.
Right.
But I said, if you're somebody, you really have a lot of light, you would actually take that as a compliment, correct?
Yeah.
So my point is if these things want to lure the people, they're not going to come with a pitchfork and horns. Because if they do, they're going to go, whoa, I'm scared of that. I got to go. Okay? I find it funny that one of the things that Stephen Greer said that was really, I found this fascinating, is when there is fear, he said this, when people have fear, they won't come. And I thought, or they won't stay. And I thought that was very interesting. Because that's the one thing these things produce is fear, you know. And the government, I think, I don't even know if it's our government. That's probably not even fair to say. You know, with Project Paperclip, we brought 300 crack Nazi men over here, scientists, to be a part of this whole thing, okay? And so I don't know if I can even say the government. I better probably use the the term the New World Order, because they've infiltrated all of our government levels. Let's face it, if you go to the Congress or the Senate,
right,
and you say, hey, guess what? We're going to have an ET invasion. They'd be like, hey, Joe, you got that white strap? Let's get this guy bound up and put him on in the hospital. Because they look at you like you're nuts, you know, like you got lobsters crawling in your mouth or something, you know. And the point is they have no education in this. They're not going to these secret meetings. And by the way, you know, this whole meeting that Stephen Greer is talking about, I would like to see it publicized, because it won't be. If it's a major government, they will not be publicized, I guarantee you, because they do everything behind closed doors. And to me, when you're doing something that's secret, it's wrong.
Right. I agree totally. And that's
so to me, if you can't put it in the public's eye, if these things are here for our good, get it in the public's eye. If they're here for our good, why can't we go touch the ship they found in 1947?
Well, so what is their agenda then? I mean, why are these ETs or angels?
Here's another question, and this is also many of the military people that find these crashed discs.
Right.
Okay? And here's one that'll flip people, and you probably heard this before, but when they open up these ships, there's human body parts in them. Now, explain, if these things are so peaceful, why is there human body parts in these ships?
Well, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people, and no one's ever told me that. Mostly what people tell me when they're taken on board a UFO is, you're right, they're examined, they're undressed, and it's not a happy experience. But a lot of people tell me they're given spiritual information as
yeah.
well. On
well, that
told,
would be correct. That would be absolutely correct, but let me ask you this. If you were trying to get somebody to follow you, would you show them a ship with all body parts of the people that you either ate or chopped up? I
no.
think that would be not for your eyes to see, would it?
Well, is it,
the only one that's seen the body parts in the ships are the military personnel that have come clean before their deathbed. So that's when
let
you
me
have
ask
to
you,
start saying, go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Do you grant the possibility that there are some friendly extraterrestrials visiting us?
Is there a possibility? I guess I'd have
yeah.
to say there's a possibility. But I would say here's one. It would be probably the same possibility as me winning the $35 million lottery tomorrow.
Okay.
So,
so like, what about the contactees of the 50s? Have you heard their stories where they're taken on board craft by human-looking
yeah.
aliens? And which didn't really stop. I mean, there's still a lot of people saying they're seeing these human-looking aliens. So
absolutely. Which is
you're saying this
I
is the
would
same
Nephilim.
Okay. I see. Well,
because they're half human, they're half spirit. They're half – and see, people think of spirits as like a ghost. Okay? We have a lot of ghost paranormal, right? Okay.
Right.
So we think of demons or spirits or sometimes even angels. We think they're going to be like ghostly, like if they came and talked to us, we could see the picture in the wall behind them.
Right.
This is wrong. They come and they manifest where you can thunk them just like you thunk, just like you tap me, you could do it with them. So,
well,
go ahead.
It makes sense if they have all these abilities. I mean, so
people don't want to go into a faith system and really understand this. They're trying to, and I'll use David Jacobs as a prime example. He's studied many, 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 many abductees. And he doesn't find it positive at all. And his abductees, in fact, he's even had abductees that he has studied where they said, yes, it's fun, it's good, it's this. He puts them in hypnosis, and he finally gets to the real truth, and they've actually been so traumatized that their whole persona kicks off and says, oh, this is a good thing, when in fact it really is a very bad, traumatic thing that's happened to them. And even in his book, he says, I don't have hope. I don't have hope for my children. And this is a doctor who has no faith system, or maybe he does, but I don't see any claim to a faith system or anything else. And so the question is science is always trying to find a reason why they're here, who they are, what they're doing, and they're trying to put it in their scientific knowledge when, in fact, these things are not even from our dimension, and you cannot explain it. You can't. It's a different dimension.
Well, I don't think there's any really strong evidence that the UFOs are evil. I mean,
well, to me, when you're raped, and you can actually go study just women being raped by actually human men,
right?
And see if their experiences are great.
Well, no, I mean,
they're not. So my point
is, imagine
being raped by something that you don't even know what it is.
I think that there's a bell curve of UFO experiences, but I'm trying to tell you. I mean, I think that there are definitely negative UFO experiences, but
yes,
we hear a lot about those fear cells, and that's what the media is attracted to. But I'm telling you, as a UFO researcher, that there are lots of positive experiences that people are having.
And there are more evil than there are positive. And if you deal with the military personnel that are coming out, most of the military personnel will tell you they're very negative.
Is that right?
Now, here's the question. The only people that are saying they're positive are really people that have no access to the truth.
Huh. So we're really up the creek, huh? Basically.
If you listen to my view, probably we're very up the creek. But see, that goes back to a faith system, because now I'm in the process right now of doing a case study on people that actually know, have a personal relationship with the Savior, and they do not have – it's actually stopping UFO abductions. In other words, these negative traumas that take place, they're actually stopping.
So you can
now,
stop.
If Jesus Christ is not real, why would they stop? Now, that to me, that's my case study that I'm building right now, because that's how much power there is in the Savior. And this is what the New World Order does not want people to know. Because if they really study, not just, and I'm not talking about organized religion, because that has got to be as controlling as the government. I'm talking about a relationship where you understand the Savior. And when you do, it stops abduction.
Yeah, I've heard of things like that. You can peeling on spiritual personages can stop an abduction.
Yes.
I've heard of that.
Yes.
So
it's very powerful, but you have to. It's not. People, I think they got to go to church on Sundays, and then everything's going to change. Well, most of the time, your pastors and your organized religion are going to tell you you're whacked and you've lost your mind. So that's not going to work. So you have to have, and this goes back to, there is so much inside the Word that talks about the Nephilim, that talks about these UFOs and different things. It's all throughout the Word. And I read it for years, never saw it until I got into this study. And then when you start reading, you go, oh, my gosh, I never saw that. You know, I never saw the commandment to read the way it did. I never saw Genesis. I never saw what I saw. Why did Jesus talk about it'll be as the days of Noah? He promised he'd never flood the earth again. So what is he saying that for? See, when you start to dig of why things are happening, you know, obviously, how, you know, there are people that wanted to know why a spaceship can fly and it doesn't fly under the same rules as one of our 747s. Somebody wanted to know that. Well, they reverse engineered. Now they know why. And are you going to all of a sudden say, well, it's not true? No. You don't have the truth.
Well, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. And our guest tonight is Ronnie McMullen. And we've been talking about his book, Sold Out Warning, which you can get through his website, which is what again?
www.soldoutwarning.com.
Okay, www.soldoutwarning.com. Now, we're approaching near the end of our hour. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned, your book tells the story of Corina Sables.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about what happened to her?
Corina was abducted since she was a little girl, and she is probably in the same lines I am. They're not good. Her experiences have not been good. Her family have been abducted. Her children have been abducted. All not good. She has nothing good to say about these ETs, fallen angels, what have you. And basically, I interviewed her and actually know her personally now and have got to be very close with her. And there's no reason for her to lie. There's no gratification here. And she's actually, well, I'll just put it this way. You need to get the book because it tells about where she's been and what's gone on and the ties of the government. And this is, again, the government's very involved, New World Order, very involved in the alien agenda. And if they are so good, to me, if the government can't tell its people the truth, then it kind of says something about them being involved with the aliens. If the aliens are so good, they would have nothing to do with our government or the New World Order.
Huh. Well, you do have some very interesting point. Now, what is the New World Order?
New World Order, Illuminati, a group of families, men who make wars for money. And they are in great power. When you study the New World Order, what they're doing, this is why you're seeing America go down the tubes. And most people that study the New World Order realize what's going on. The New World Order is like what would be called a shadow government. And there's certain entities of it, the Mason, the Masonic levels, the secret societies. It's like very unfair, you know. You're hand-picked. Presidents are not elected. Presidents are picked. We see for the past, you know, for the past two elections with President Bush, he was not elected. Those votes were not real. And we know this, and we're finally finding it. But we say, oh, this was all with President Bush. But who says it's not right with Clinton? Who says it's not right with Reagan and so on and so forth? And if you look into your presidents, many of the presidents knew about the alien agenda, from Kennedy to Reagan to Bush, you know, Eisenhower, Truman. This has been going on for years. And if they are connected with these aliens, and they are, and people try to tell me the aliens are good, that's like saying our government's good. So we're in trouble. We're in very big trouble. So, but I'll tell you, if they get the book, they'll actually see some hope, though, and some explanations for probably some questions they've been wanting to be answered for quite a long time.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you to close with. I mean, what can people do? What's the message you want to leave people with?
I think the hope is, you know, and I don't want to push anything on anybody because that's not the kind of person I am. I would say you need to search out and find out. You know, I say that there's a what I call a defense suit. And again, I'm doing a case study with the people that know Jesus Christ. In fact, the New World Order said before the end of days they're going to push to basically say Jesus Christ was nothing more than a fable. There was no truth to it. Now, all of a sudden, these bones, by the way, just were not just found. This is 20 years ago. They're bringing up some old dirt. They're saying if they can prove that these are so-called Jesus bones, then we don't have a resurrected Christ, which means this is just a story. And if we can prove it's just a story, then, you know, it's almost like they want people to say, I've lost all hope, which would push it right into, you know, whether they want to pull the ETs and make the ETs bad so that the New World Order can save them, or if they're going to rapture them with the ET. I mean, who knows really what their game plan is, because everything's under dynamo secrecy. But I will tell you this, if you don't have your faith system right, and that's not going to church on Sundays, that's knowing what's in your heart. If you don't have that right, you're going to be toast. And so to me, the last piece of my book is probably the most important part of it. I have not had anybody write me and say they hate my book. I have not had anybody write me whether they have a faith system or not. They've all said, you know what, that was an awesome book.
Wow.
I challenge people.
Well, you've definitely raised some interesting points and definitely made me think. I can't say I'm sold on the idea, but...
Well, I'll make sure you get a book, Preston. That way you can go into the depths.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. You've been a very interesting guest, and I'm sure people will be very interested in what you have to say, and hopefully will buy your book.
I thank you so much for having me on, and I'll make sure you get a book.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'd love that. All right. Well, that's our show tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest has been Ronnie McMullen, whose book, Sold Out Warning, we've been talking about. And go out and buy it if this sounds like something that might interest you. And thanks for joining us this evening. I hope you can join us next week when our guest is Nanu Lanham, when she's going to talk about UFOs as well, which she believes are gods from inner space. It's another viewpoint which we love to have. And until next week, have a great evening.